Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Welcome, and let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you we can gather in your name. We thank you that you hear us. We thank you that you invite us to come. And we thank you for the power of prayer, Lord. We thank you for that worship time with you. We thank you for personal intercession. We thank you for intercession for others. And Lord, we just want to give you all praise and all glory for what you have done, are doing, and will do. So may your will be done in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at the last chapter this morning of 2 Samuel and coming to the end of David's reign. And we will see kind of a blotch on his whole life here in this census that he takes of Israel and Judah. So we will talk about that a bit. But there is a huge difference now in the New Testament for the last 2,000 years in how God handles punishment, I believe, and how he handles condemnation and how he handles conviction and, of course, chastisement, because Jesus paid it all, didn't he? Now, he doesn't punish us for our sins because they've been paid for, but he does chastise us. There are consequences of the sin, and we do get conviction from him, but not condemnation. The condemnation, when you get condemnation, and what's the difference between condemnation and conviction in the sense that I'm using it? Condemnation will always bring you further away from the Lord, and that's how you know it's from Satan, because it doesn't feel any different from conviction by the Lord, but the conviction by the Lord will always bring you closer to Jesus, right? So when you feel this, and oh, this feels so good, and then pretty soon you feel yourself being drawn away from Jesus, get away from that. Rebuke it, because that's not the Lord, right? So we'll have the word today, condemned, here, which is a word which could be troubled, or it's frequently translated struck. David's heart struck him. So we'll look at that a little bit. But first, I wanted to just remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross, because we are so blessed because of what he did for us in demonstrating his love for us. The words are on the top of the front page there. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Let's sing along.
I hear the saints say, thy strength indeed is strong. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Jesus paid it all.
Amen. So in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, we have David's last words for the first 7 verses. Then there's a section of describing his mighty men. Now, when we go then into chapter 24, we don't really know too much about this transition because it doesn't seem to flow very easily. But we read, again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. And we're not told any more than that. We don't know what the anger of the Lord was for or why or whatever, but there was the anger of the Lord against Israel. And it said, against David, against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Now, there is kind of an interesting question here on the word he. The King James, the New King James, translates that into with a capital. Well, not the old King James didn't do that anyway, but the New King James translates that with a capital H, referring to God. And the grammatic thing sounds like it's God. The anger of the Lord was against Israel, and he moved David. It sounds like it's God moving David, and it may be. In the Chronicles account, it says very clearly that God had Satan move David. So you can call that God, or you can call it Satan, or you can call it, not that they're the same, but they may have been used, because that's what the Chronicles account in 1 Chronicles 21 is the same account of this event. And of course, you know, Chronicles is more from kind of the spiritual side, I think, kind of from God's side, and Kings is more from the government side or from man's secular side, as far as facts and that kind of a thing. But the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them, against Israel, to say, go number Israel and Judah. So this sin now by David is going to be against God, is going to be against Israel. Although he's going to try to take credit for it later and say, how could I have done this to Israel? But we have two aspects here. We have the anger of the Lord against Israel, and then we have David committing this sin. And I think this sin is primarily a sin of pride. He's 70 years old now. He's had great battles. They just had this big battle at Rabbah, and they had the battle over the final giants and so forth. And he's numbering his men, I guess. And, you know, we have these great feats of what these men have done over the last bunch of years, 40 years or so. But now, and he is probably, it's almost like a pastor saying, well, I'm getting near retirement. How many do I have in this church now? You know, when I started, we had 5, or we had 2, or we had 1. Now we've got 18,000 or whatever it is, maybe more. I'm going to have to get, you know, take an accurate count, because I want to be remembered as having a 20,000 or whatever it is. I don't know if that's part of it or what, but it's a sin because all the way David has not paid much attention to the number of people in his army. He just relied on God. But now he wants to number the army, apparently, because he just says number the men. But we come back and later Joab will give the count of the valiant men who were able to draw a sword. So I think the charge there by David was, I want to see how many fighting men I have. And what difference does it make? And so we see Joab now coming against him. You know, wicked Joab, or you know, whatever you call him, he's kind of good and bad. But he even sees, and he says, David, who has put this desire in your heart? Don't do it. And then the captains of the army say, no, no. I mean, we see the captains of the army. One guy kills 800 by himself. Another guy kills 300 by himself. They don't need more men. They've got God. But their leader, David, the man after God's own heart, gets carried away here. And I think there's a good issue there for us. We have on one hand, with Bathsheba, we had the sin of the flesh, right? But here we more have the sin of the spirit. We more have the sin of a motive. The flesh with Bathsheba was bang, bang, quick, quick. I mean, he saw, he sinned, man, boom, boom, like instantaneously. Here we have a much more plotting and intentional sin, it seems like, because it took him almost 10 months to number this census, and David did not repent in that 10 months. So this is a long time this thing is going on. Now, when he finally gets the numbers back, then he's going to be convicted, as we'll see. But there's some differences here, and there's some similarities, but I think you and I need to be careful, not only from fleshly sins, but also from spiritually sinning. So we read, Joab said, now may the Lord add 100 times more to people than there are, and may you see it. But why does my Lord the king desire this thing? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the army. That shows you the depth of the recognition here that it's wrong. When your general and all the captains are against this, why are they against it? Because it's wrong. His word prevailed. He's king. So they cross over east side of the Jordan, and they number them there. Then they do go all around the country, and they come back 9 months and 20 days later. They have completed this. We read in the Chronicles account, he never did count the Benjamites and the Levites. Joab refused to count those. But now in verse 10, a very key verse, and David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So this is the word condemned. It's actually struck is the most frequent translation of that word. Another one is troubled by this. But it says condemned here after he numbered the people. But now look what he does. He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't say, this was this reason or that reason. He again comes clean. So this man after God's own heart is not perfect by a long way, but he always confesses and repents. And so what does he say in verse 10? I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now, is that your attitude after you sin? I have sinned greatly, or is it, well, you know, Lord, that was just a little one. I mean, it isn't that bad. You know, think about all these other people. They're big sins. Mine's really not so bad. We need to hate our sin, right? We need to hate our sin. He says, I've sinned greatly in what I've done, but now I pray, O Lord. So he goes to the Lord in prayer. Take away the iniquity of your servant. Forgive me, in other words, for I have done foolishly. I have done very foolishly. Again, he sees him committing a great sin, and he sees his behavior as being very foolish. Not all of us want to admit that about ourselves, do we? I mean, we think everybody else is a fool, but we don't. Well, no, I'm not a fool. I mean, I'm pretty good, right? No, we've done foolishly. And this is what David says. Now when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet of Gad. Before it was Nathan, here's Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Now, we see God's love here, I think. We see God's mercy. He's going to bring this consequence of the sin on David, but he's going to let David choose which of the three consequences he's going to take. The first consequence is 3 months before your enemies. Well, I'm sorry, first consequence is 7 years of famine. In the Chronicles, it says 3 years of famine. The three and the seven are very similar Hebrew letters. One is Gimel and the other is Zayin, and they're both vertical with a little thing on the top, and then they have a little one on the bottom. So that's probably the reason, the difference between the three and the seven. But whether it's three or seven, nevertheless, it is, that's the first choice, famine for a longer period of time. Secondly, fleeing 3 months before your enemies, and that would mean you have no real way of defeating them for 3 months. You're going to lose for 3 months. How many of you want to go to war for 3 months and be assured of no victories? I don't think so. Then, the third choice is 3 days plague in your land. Now, that's not a good choice either. You don't know what that's going to be, but you know, as he said in verse 14, I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great. But do not let me fall into the hands of man. So he's basically saying, of these three, I'm going to choose to be in the merciful hand of God and not in the unmerciful hand of man. So David sent a plague from Israel from the morning till the appointed time. Now notice this. This is just the first day. And it's from the morning to the appointed time, most believe, is 3 PM, when was the afternoon hour prayer. So just those few hours, that first day, 70,000 men, or not men, people died. 70,000. So notice the penalty, in a sense, in terms of human lives, versus the Bathsheba sin and this sin. In Bathsheba, maybe four died. And here we got 70,000. So this is, in a sense, much bigger in a way. From Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men of the people died. And then the angel stretches out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it. Then the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. So this is purely God's grace. We don't know why. And the angel of the Lord was at the threshing floor of Araunah, Ornan, whichever you want. And Ornan is the name in Chronicles. Araunah is the name here. Now, if you get the picture, David, when he saw the angel who was striking the people, And you kind of have to have been to Jerusalem to get the picture here, because otherwise it's kind of hard to imagine. But the city of David, the city of Ophel, is on the slope leading up to the Temple Mount. It did not include the Temple Mount, but he's on this slope going up there. And apparently as he's looking up, he can see the angel of the Lord up there above. And it's going to mark, I believe, the spot of Mount Moriah. It's going to mark the spot of where later Jesus is going to be offered as the sacrifice. It was the spot where Abraham offered Isaac as the sacrifice. And before we're done here today, we're going to see God is going to tell David, that's the spot where I want you to build my temple. But it starts out as a flat rock, as a threshing floor, because they would always have a flat rock as a threshing floor to have the wind blow the chaff away. And so one of the remedies here of this sin is God tells David in verse 21, by the threshing floor, build an altar to the Lord that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. So we see sacrifice. We see substitution here in a sense as well, as we always have a substitution in the aspect of Jesus Christ being our substitute. And so David is obedient. He goes to the Temple Mount. It's not the Temple Mount yet, but it will be. To Araunah, or to Ornan. And Ornan's got his oxen up there and so forth, threshing implements and the yokes and so forth. And so as soon as Araunah sees him, David, you know, probably don't know what's going on. David says, I want to buy for a price the threshing floor. And so he says, oh, here, take it. I want to give it to you. Take my oxen, take the yokes for fuel for the sacrifice. But David says something I think is very important for all of us in verse 24. No, I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. So if we're giving the Lord things that cost us nothing, that's not much of a really an indication of where our heart is. And so David would say here, I will not take something that costs me nothing. So he buys the threshing floor for 50 shekels of silver in the Chronicles account. He buys the whole area up there for a bunch of gold, so much more. This is just part of it. This is just the threshing floor, I believe. But he buys it, and he builds there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And then listen to this. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. And then in the Chronicles account, the very next verse is, and he told David, this is the place where I want my house built. So he's marking out the location of the temple, and it's still there today, still at the top. I believe it's at the not in the Islamic Dome of the Rock, but it's at the little place where the rock outcropping is north of there. But at any rate, we see here David's sin was not a fleshly sin in this case, but it was a sin in the heart and motivated by pride. But he did confess, but it took him 10 months to get around to it in a sense. So we need to check ourselves on these things and just see where it fits us. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for David's prayer. We thank you for your answering prayers, and it encourages us as we pray. We know if we're praying in accordance with your will, you will answer us. So lead us this morning as we go to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.